Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 49 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. And as promised, we have a very special guest today. Actor Todd Stashwick is with us in the studio. Hello, Todd.
Hello, Lou and Tony.
How are you doing today?
Filled with joy.
Actually, maybe you can get a little bit closer.
Do you need me closer?
Yeah, I think I need you closer.
All right.
We don't have the same kind of high-tech equipment that you're used to dealing with in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because we're in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, so you have to excuse that.
We have jaw implants.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it just immediately broadcasts whatever we're saying.
That's so cool. Yeah. See, we should put that in the tech section of our podcast.
Yeah.
I've been friends with you since college.
Your college or my college?
My college.
Okay.
And
probably around 87, 88.
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah.
And I believe, now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I probably am, since you have family who are also into film, but I believe I may have been your first director producer with the fabulous film Never Can Tell, in which you starred.
And I think I did half the voices.
That film was shot non-sync, so you may have done all the voices, even the girl ones.
I think I did. I was the sound of the car.
But currently, yeah, that's right. That was, and the sound of the chains rattling.
Yes, I was.
But currently, you can be seen as Eli on Heroes.
Yes,
and
I can.
You are a multiplier. Is that what we call you?
Yes, I think they call it a multiplier on the show.
I think there were two. Actually, there were two different names used on that episode for you.
Yes, I think I'm the amazing replicating man
in the carnival,
but I think they refer to me as a multiplier.
Yeah, what's her name?
I think Lauren or Elizabeth Rome
referred to you as a multiplier.
We call him HRG. Do they call him HRG out there in the verse?
Yeah.
Okay, HRG refers to me as a multiplier because apparently they speak a little backstory as if they encountered one in Sandusky or something.
Right.
Like that.
That happens a lot in San Francisco.
Yeah,
that's why I don't go there anymore. It's Disney World or Six Flags or nothing. Because I am afraid.
And
of...
it's me working every stand.
That's
at
so
Kings
cool.
Island.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Just don't pop me.
I haven't been there in years.
It's time.
Yeah. Is it? They still. I think they still have
the banana splits as their theme.
Well, I wasn't gonna say that actually.
I think they still have
like some pretty significant roller coasters as far as like I think they're usually pretty good about having like the tallest or the fastest or whatever.
Yeah,
you ever been there, Tony?
I don't like roller coasters.
No.
Okay. Tony, I'm sorry. I couldn't get our mixer to work, and so Tony and I are sharing a mic. So Tony,
it's uncomfortably close.
It is, and I did not have any mints, so I apologize for that.
But P.F. Chang's.
Well, and it was very good.
It was very good.
I had the ground chicken with eggplant. Tasty. Although I have to say I'm still mad at them.
I look forward to smelling that throughout the next hour.
I have to say I'm still mad at them for taking my duck dish off the menu. It's a stupid move. Anyway, we will talk more about Heroes and other stuff that you have and are going to be working on when we get into the TV and movie sections.
Sounds good.
I would like to talk, though, about how I know Todd.
Okay.
As hard as the job was, I was Todd's manager for a very short while at the movie theater.
Yeah. How was I as an employee?
You were a little hard to rein in.
Was I?
No, please. We worked at a movie theater. Who cares?
I was darn good at that job.
You were. But you used to do all kinds of acrobatics in the lobby. Remember
Probably.
That? Yeah. You kick over poles connected
ideally.
To ropes. And,
ideally.
Was that Woodfield 1 and 2?
I think that was 5 through 9.
In the mall.
Inside the mall.
Inside the mall.
Used to be an ice skating rink.
Yeah. And then it was Mars. And then I don't know what it is now.
Now it's a comedy club.
Oh, right. It's the Improv, isn't it?
Yeah, the Improv.
Nice.
Right.
And it was then, too.
It certainly was.
Right?
All right, so we are going to start off, as always, by talking about video games. So, Todd, what have you been playing lately?
For Christmas, my sister-in-law gave me Modern Warfare 2, which is... I've only completed a few missions in it, but it's unbelievable.
Did you choose to play the controversial mission?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. And it was funny because my sister-in-law had not seen the game that she bought me, and that's when she decided to watch.
Lou, do you know what that mission is?
I think you talked about
it. It's been out long enough now. I don't think I mentioned what it was, though. I think we can mention it now because it's been out long
enough. Okay, go ahead.
Which is really timely. Yeah. In this.
It's where you are undercover with.
Oh, you did tell me this.
Terrorists.
You have to go to an airport and like kill a bunch of everybody.
Right.
Civilians to make yourself believable as an undercover operative or something like that.
But then, I'm not going to even spoil how that mission ends. You know how that mission ends?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we won't spoil that.
Doesn't the whole airport blow up? I think you already said that.
Nope.
No, I wouldn't have mentioned on air how it ends.
Major spoiler.
That's a major spoiler.
Okay. Well, then we won't talk about that. All right. So Modern Warfare 2.
Modern Warfare 2, I just completed Uncharted 2.
Did you love it as much as I did?
Oh, my God. That's a game,
I
right?
think that is my best game of the year.
It's up there. It's up there. I also loved Arkham Asylum, which was really deeply satisfying as a Batman fan and as a game in general.
And just as a mood setter. I mean, it like...
Really gorgeous.
You feel like you're in it.
Yeah. Really creepy enough, yet intuitive enough to go, I feel like I'm Batman. It didn't... It like did everything I wanted it to do as Batman, yeah.
Here's what it didn't do for Lou. Go ahead.
Well, no. No, I complained about that long enough already. No, what I was going to say is because I haven't played that much of it yet, I've only played like the first 15 or 20 minutes... I've heard a lot of people say that they stayed in night vision mode during almost the entire game. Did you guys have that experience?
I didn't. I would go in and out.
I probably used it more than I would catch myself and be like, okay, I'm playing too much of this like that.
I think the regular, the rendered world of Arkham was so beautiful that I just kind of wanted to see that more often than not. And I would throw it on to see if guys were around the corner or to you know, follow that scent. You know, like Life as a Dog, that video game.
Right.
Where you're trying to follow, like, the clues. So you'd need the night vision for that. The detective mode. It's not night vision.
Yeah, sorry, detective mode.
That's fair. I also thought it was a lovely device. But I liked fighting guys, not skeletons, so much, you know? And when you throw the night vision on, you're just fighting skeleton.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it felt like a doctor shooter.
Yes, it did. It felt like that scene in Total Recall.
Where they're walking through the airport.
Yeah.
I can't believe we still don't have that. Doesn't that seem ridiculous?
We're about to. I think O'Hare's implementing that in about a
year.
Well,
I'm just saying, with all the stuff that's been going on the last 10 years, don't you think we should have that
fluoroscope?
By now? Yeah. What's wrong?
I don't know.
Apparently, the ancient Egyptians actually had something like that, so sure. I don't know why we don't
have
that
yet. They
also
put silver in their milk, but...
Well, I didn't say they were smart. I just said they were a little ahead of their time.
Yeah.
Isn't everyone doing that now? Silver in the milk?
Yep.
Is that what you said?
90%
silver in the milk?
More silver.
I don't even know what that means.
Colloidal silver. Anyway, okay. It's a whole other show.
We'll move on. All right, so what else have you been playing?
I tried to complete a bunch of stuff. So I finished Uncharted 1 because I knew Uncharted 2 was coming out.
Okay.
I played Uncharted 2. Gears of War 2 I've been dabbling with. I just got Assassin's Creed 2, but I haven't played it. All the twos.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed. Modern Warfare 1.
So this is all yesterday.
This is all.
What do you got planned for today?
Today? What am I playing?
You have, don't you have...
I just got, but I can't, my systems are back home. But yeah. I got Assassin's Creed 2. I got Left 4 Dead 2. Left 4 Dead, been playing that. And Beatles Rock Band, been playing that.
Okay.
Oh.
Is that the Lego one?
And then Portal.
Oh.
There's a Lego Rock Band that my son got for Christmas.
Cool.
But Beatles Rock Band is really fun.
Yeah, I finished that. I loved that.
Yeah.
And it made me want to know more about the Beatles, so I went and got a book.
It's a great party game, too.
Yeah.
You know, Tony, they were very big in their day.
The Beatles?
I am aware.
They had a few tunes.
You're still playing Portal. Do you mean the extra stuff?
But then the extra, Still Alive, the new levels, which was fun, too.
Did you ever finish it?
I never got... That's the one you downloaded from Xbox Live, right?
Yes,
I never got that. I just have it from the from the orange box.
Yeah,
but did you finish the regular game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you got to see the cake and hear the song.
Yeah.
Didn't you love it?
Yeah.
It was really cool.
And then Killzone, which is kind of awesome for the PS3.
Yeah, it was kind of a letdown for me. I guess I just expected, something a little deeper as far as I don't know
story-wise.
Well, story, just you know, it just is going in.
Well, that's what we were having a massive conversation about Fallout 3. How I don't see a reason to pick it up.
In fact, we were having such a massive conversation that our server came over at one
point.
Are
you guys into games?
Are you guys gamers? Oh, I love video games. And then he said something
made him
else.
Like Pepe Le Pew for some reason. Not Pepe Le Pew. Who was that? Speedy Gonzalez.
Well, he kind of sounded
like fast.
A little bit.
He was very fast.
He had no hat, though, which I was disappointed with.
No, you know why he didn't have a hat? Because when he ran, it would spin in the air.
Along with the bobby pins from his witch friend.
He would get back to the spot
and it would fall on his hat. That is such a cool trick. I have got to learn how to do that.
Gotta be fast.
With my underwear.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you played anything new since the last podcast?
No, I played a lot more of World of Warcraft.
What level are you now? Did you make 10 yet?
I'm just like a little hair away. So
Tony's very excited because once he gets to level 10 with his hunter, he gets a pet. And the whole game will change for him when that happens.
Yeah. But Todd, we were talking off air earlier, and you were wondering if it was something you'd be into. Yeah. I totally thought it would be something I would never be into, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, the RPG element is not necessarily my cup of tea.
Mine neither. In fact, okay. I'm usually against it. So okay. I didn't like Fallout or Oblivion or any of those.
Yeah.
So.
I did get Dragon Age Origins, which I guess is RPG, but it's supposed to be gorgeous.
It's supposed to be more of an action RPG, yeah. right?
And I'm also interested in getting Borderlands.
Yeah, yeah, it just looks really cool.
And they said it's just guns.
Now, will you get BioShock 2 when it comes out?
You know, because BioShock, again, the only thing that's disappointing me is this final boss round, and that's the thing that I don't like. Like everything I enjoy about BioShock isn't in the final boss round.
Right.
And so part of me feels like I'm not committing to finishing the game, but then part of me goes, well, BioShock 2 would have a lot of the things that I love about the first game, but I hope it doesn't have a boss round that I don't want to complete.
Yeah, I guess the things that I liked about it, because I had never, to be honest, I had never really played any first-person shooters before I played BioShock.
Yeah.
That was the first one that I had ever played
What? Half-Life.
No, I played Half-Life 2 after.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I had never played the original Half-Life until after I played Half-Life 2.
Okay. Now, did you get the orange box?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where I got it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then,
yeah.
Now, did you hear, we've talked about this a couple times before, but did you hear about this thing where there's a group of people not associated with Valve who are redoing the original Half-Life in the Source engine, the entire game, so that you can play the original game with the current technology?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be out like, you know, 9 years ago or whatever.
Wow.
But it might come out actually sometime in 2010.
That's fascinating.
Which would be fun.
Yeah.
But, so what I really liked about BioShock was, first of all, just the look of the whole city.
Yeah, it's very
it was just gorgeous.
Yeah, it was
very
gorgeous.
Atmospheric. But I also thought the story was clever enough.
Oh, I thought it was a smart, smart story. Again, going back to the things that I love about a game and the things that I don't love about a game, I never know, we were talking about this earlier, I never know what kind of stats I should have.
Right.
The customization of a character. Because I don't know in the gameplay where I'm like, oh, I should have upped my arms. Like, I don't know, like, what, like, my lock picking skill. Darn me. Wish I could go back to that gene
no,
bank.
Todd, this is Pac-Man.
Yeah.
No lock picking.
That's why, like, I love leveling up in, like, Arkham where you unlock weapons and stuff like that. That is fun. But when you start like having to move like a bar 3 points higher and this one 2 points lower, I kind of get lost. I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to that because I honestly don't recognize the significance, a significant change in the gameplay when I've done that.
Well, I think if that's the case, then that's a glaring example of bad game design, though.
I suppose.
I mean, if they're going to put it in there, it should be obvious enough to somebody who didn't play any previous games by that developer and didn't read the manual. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because again, going back to Half-Life 2, and I know you hate it when I do this for everything, but you didn't have to know anything about that game to play it. You
right.
walk over
well, that's
something
what,
and
I,
it,
that's why I was saying to you about Modern Warfare 2.
Right.
It like you pick up or Modern Warfare 1. I think the ease of design makes you feel competent and challenged at the same time.
Yeah.
I feel like I know what I'm doing, but I also feel like I got to run to keep up at the same time. And so there is an element of adrenaline that kicks in and fun when you're in the middle of the melee.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel kind of badass while I'm doing it, you know?
Did you ever play Resistance 2?
Loved
I just,
it.
Oh my God, I just got that from Gamefly. I've been
Loved
playing it,
it.
Recently.
I missed the one weapon from Resistance 1 was the ball bearing one where you shoot this ball into a room and then these little ball bearings kind of bounce off the walls till they hit a soft target.
Oh, that's
oh, cool.
I
love that. And that was not in the second game. I'm like, "Urgh!" But we do play a lot of Left 4 Dead. We enjoy that game too.
Yeah. And you like the second one even more?
I've only played the second one once. I got it for Christmas. I played it at a friend's place. I haven't dove in. But if it is such a no-brainer, no pun intended, no-brainer of a video game that it's like, it is exactly what you want from a zombie game. There are zombies, kill them, the end. Get from point A to point B with your group.
Yeah.
And just annihilate zombies along the way. And I see no downside.
And do you play it mostly with friends or by yourself?
Yeah,
or?
It's definitely like that and like Beatles Rock Band. Those are the games that when people come over, I play. I don't play Left 4 Dead alone.
Yeah, okay.
That's not that kind of game.
Uncharted,
definitely.
By the way, did you play Plants vs. Zombies?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's coming up in the miscellaneous, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't spoil that. And then, so on our last episode, we talked about what our favorite video game moments were for 2009. If you had to pick one thing from this year, what do you think it would be?
There's a spoiler in it, though.
Well, you don't have to tell the...
Well, is there a statute of limitations? Say, like, Uncharted 2 has been out long enough, I can say a moment in that game?
Well, no, you don't have to say the actual moment, but you can say it's... you can say something that, you know, for instance, something that happens in Uncharted 2.
Oh, well, in Uncharted 2, when the building's going down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you're, like, having
because
to...
Because the first time it happens, you're like, oh, my God, what's happening?
What's happening? The room starts going down, and you're still fighting guys.
Jeffrey's talking, and I am not
You'll forget. You'll forget. Okay. By the time you get to it, it will take you by surprise.
It's totally taking you by surprise because it happens when you least expect it.
Okay.
And it's pretty awesome. That to me was like probably one of my most talked about when I've relayed to friends why they need to buy a PS3. It's for that moment alone because it was.
Yeah, he keeps telling me that I should buy it just for that and because it's a Blu-ray player and it does everything according to Tony.
Well, I love, you know, and my PS3, I was an early adopter and I've yet to be disappointed by my PS3.
Yeah. Do you do the PS3, what is it called? The PS3 world, PS3 land?
Home?
Yeah.
No.
That, whatever.
I'm not that guy.
You're not
like,
that guy?
I don't care to watch people mouth off to each other.
You didn't play The Sims all day and all night?
I played A Sims once,
yeah,
but I did not find, like, look, I have to go to the bathroom in the real world. Like, why would I want to play a game where suddenly, oh, you got to go pee? Like, that doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
Again,
you know,
which
they
is
have,
why
they
like the Grand Theft Auto series never really interests me too. It's like if my morality skewed a hair, I could be killing hookers and jacking cars.
Oh,
but,
come
but
on. Like, you've never done that. You're in the film business. Yeah, we know how you people are.
That's how I get from here to there. but so I mean, and but I will say to its defense, Grand Theft Auto 4 is that the latest?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That one has been lovely. The way they've sort of laid out Manhattan has been lovely. It's kind of expansive. And
see,
beautiful.
I never played any of those because
I
was
all of them.
I was.
I like the more escapist games.
I wasn't offended by it, but I just don't get it really.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I play a video game to do something that I can't see if I'm in downtown Chicago at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
Like I want to see like I
oh,
want to see
there's
the fabric
rats
of
in
time,
that game too.
The fabric of time rip, and I want to see like
yeah. See, that's fun.
Yeah, that's the kind of yeah.
All right, cool. Well, let's. You got a few miscellaneous video game things here, Tony.
Yeah. First of all, it appears that not enough research was done when creating the level for Modern Warfare 2 that is set in the Pakistani town of Karachi. In the level, all signs and storefronts are in Arabic, a language that Pakistanis do not speak. It would have been easier and more authentic to just feature the signs in English, as it is one of the two national languages of Pakistan.
I think. So. Do you guys? I think we should have a national language here. Why don't we have one?
Don't we?
No.
No.
We have no official
constitution.
We have no official national language. But you can't really have a society without communication.
Yeah, because America's doing awful.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying.
What are you talking? It's not doing. It's fine.
No, I'm saying we need a national language.
We're doing fine.
I think we need
you want it to be like, you know.
Esperanza. I am not giving up on that.
Okay.
Does anybody speak that?
I want it to be Abba Dubba.
But then don't we all need weird hats with
Hold
eye
my
holes?
Frubbeds. I think the national language should be from Zoom.
I think so too. And the national handshake should be the
what,
squiggly
what
arm thing.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm all for that. I would vote for that over Esperanza if you push it.
Abba Dubba.
But that's got to come from you. I can't start that.
Well, our president's name already sounds like it's in Abba Dubba. Doesn't it? I love the guy, but doesn't it sound
a little bit.
It's in Abba Dubba?
A little bit. It could be mistaken for such. Yeah. All right, and then...
And PopCap has announced that Plants vs. Zombies will be released on the iPhone in late January.
I don't know. Could you really play it on that small of a screen, though?
I don't know.
I loved that game. So much fun.
Yeah?
Check it out. It's really a blast. It's not like a... It's not an... Well, I guess it is kind of an action game. It's a little puzzle, like a desktop puzzle game. But it's really fun, and it's very funny, too.
Is it like Braid?
No.
I can't get my mind around that game.
That game, I absolutely
so
loved the first level of that game, and then I hated it after that. Because it was so...
Did you guys play Flower?
Yeah.
Wow, right?
Yeah. That's on PS3. Yeah. You can't play
you
it.
You should get a PS3.
Look. All right. All right. I'll go to Best Buy right after we're done here and get one.
They're on sale.
Are they?
Yeah.
You mean like actually on sale, or you just mean the new lower price?
Well, no, I don't mean that. I mean, I don't know if they've suddenly slashed the price. With
is this bait and switch? Are you witnessing
you should get a PS3. Okay. You should get a PS3.
I don't know. Those controllers seem awfully uncomfortable.
No, they're lovely. They're heavenly. And they charge up forever. Like you charge it.
Yeah, that's
it goes
true.
Forever.
They're charged more than Xbox controllers.
Yeah. And they're not as like Xbox controllers is like holding a Big Mac.
I like that though. I like McDonald's.
No, there's something really I mean, the PS controller's lovely.
It's like holding a croissant.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I love Xbox. I have all three systems.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you also have the
Wii. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the
Dreamcast
the Odyssey 2.
Telstar Pong.
The Telstar Arcade.
Yeah.
Which was the good one. It was the triangular one. Dunk. Did you have what was your first video game system? Did you have a 2600?
We had Telstar.
Oh, you did have the Telstar.
We had Telstar, and then I had 2600. Okay. And then I never upgraded from that until college or after college when I got like N64.
Oh, really? So you skipped
my roommate
all of
had an NES. My first purchased video game as a grown person was N64.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I've kind of upgraded since then. I had a PS2.
You did have a Dreamcast.
Never had a Dreamcast.
Do you have a Neo Geo?
I had the, what was the, oh crap, I can't pull that reference out fast enough. The Vectrex.
Oh, I had one of those for a while, but I sold it. I mean, I didn't have it when it was new. I had it as part of a collection of stuff, but then I got rid of it. But it was pretty.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and flimsy.
Beautiful.
It was really a piece of junk, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Shadow Complex. Did you play that?
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
Awesome.
Sorry, I cut you off.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I was just going to say, it's unfortunate when people try to do ports of the vector games to, you know, anything that's rasterized, because it just doesn't have that feel. You know, you just can't get that.
The best. Have you played, it's a great download, Rez.
No.
Download Rez HD on the Xbox 360. You will be very satisfied. It sort of takes. It's a little bit of Tron.
Yeah.
With a little bit of Tempest.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's a sound game, but done by the guy that did. What's the one that's like Tetris with the cubes coming down?
Lumens.
Luminous. It's by the guy. He did that before. He did Rez before that, and I had it on the PS2, and then there was a download. It is one of the best shooters. Because it's sound-based, so it's kinesthesia.
Yeah.
So everything is in beat. Even when you track and release your missiles, it all unlocks sounds and stuff.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Rez, R-E-Z.
Okay.
Please download it.
That's on the Xbox 360?
Yeah. It's unbelievably great.
I'll check that out.
You'll love it. And it's all about going through a computer and getting to the core of the computer. And
there's
viruses coming at you. So it's got that Tempest kind of look, but
next-gen
version of something like that.
When I was much younger and playing games on the Apple II, one of my favorite games back then, do you remember that game called Short Circuit? Whereas like you had been miniaturized and you were a little guy running around on a circuit board, and then these short circuits and stuff would come and get you.
Oh,
so cool. You played it?
I remember that game.
Yeah. Oh, it was very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, I think that's all we have for video games. So we'll be back in a minute and we're going to talk about TV, and then you can give us a lot of cool information about Heroes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Be right back. Okay. We're back and it's time to talk about television. So of course, let's start out talking about Heroes.
Yeah.
Now, tell us a little bit about how you got the gig, because you actually auditioned for a different part, right?
Yeah, I've been going in and out of that audition room for Heroes for the last few years. I went in for Sylar, actually.
Okay.
2 years ago, I would think. 3 years ago, maybe. They started season 4. And it was originally just a guest star role, and it was in between. It was hiatus from the Riches at the time, so I thought I could go in for this guest star role. Needless to say, I didn't book the part, and Zachary is amazing at the role.
Yeah.
And it turned into a series regular role, which I couldn't have done anyway, but Zachary, it was his to be had. So I've been in and out of that room for years for different roles, and they liked me, they just never found anything to stick. I went in for the role of Samuel over the summer when they started rebooting the season.
Okay.
And they liked what I did a lot. I think I was too young for what they needed. They needed much more of a patriarch. And Robert, like, it's again, his role. It's his role, like, perfect casting. The guy's amazing. I never would have gotten it, even if I was old enough, because this guy was ideal for it. And then towards the end of the summer, I got a phone call saying there may be they're about to offer you a role, a recurring role on Heroes. They don't know what it is yet. They're still figuring it out.
That's wild.
It's a function, you know, as they develop, as they break story, and as they figure out what they need, they go, they do know that you're going to be Nepper's right-hand man.
Right. Not Samuel.
Now, did they write the role for you, do you think?
I would say not distinct. I think they knew there was going to be a role. They knew that what the character's name was going to be. And then I was told, they said, hey, let's get Stashwick for this. And then I think once they decided that it was me, then they figured out what the power was going to be and all of that.
Jazz. And are you happy with your power? Do you like your power?
It's so much fun.
It is cool.
It's so much fun.
Now, how do you shoot those scenes?
A lot simpler than one would imagine. And the only one episode has aired, so I'll speak very freely about that episode since it's already out.
Yeah. We don't like to do spoilers on here. So.
Okay. The scene where I'll break down the two scenes. There's the one where I'm standing in front of Samuel's trailer, and like five of me approach him at the very end of it.
Right.
That simply was done with, they threw up a blue screen behind me.
Okay.
And then I would stand one at a time and do each version of that. Then they pull the blue screen out without moving any of the furniture. Then they take what they call a plate shot. A still static shot of just the background without Samuel, so that then after that, each one of the blue screen things becomes a layer that they can just lay over it, each other.
Okay.
Now, that was one version of how they did it. The other version, there's actually three sort of ways they do it. The other version is literally they just have another guy who's as tall as I am with the same unfortunate haircut. And
your hair looks pretty good, actually.
Thank you. It's an LA toss. and they'll literally shoot over his shoulder and then cut to me suddenly popping up behind for somebody. Like I will go behind them. So suddenly you get a reveal that I'm over there. Then there's the scene with HRG and Lauren in HRG's room when I come to steal the files. And they literally had me stand behind Elizabeth Rome, lovely actress.
Yeah.
She was on Angel and Law and Order.
I liked her on Law and Order. She's great.
She's terrific. And I love working with her. So I'd be standing behind her. And then they would turn the camera. They would pan over, but they would do it. They would hold it on her. I would literally stop. And she would hold still and then walk over to the next mark.
That's so
cool. And they
would
pan away and then digitally in post pull me out of the walk over.
Wow.
So literally it would go from boom and then the camera would whip pan to the next spot, whip pan to the next spot. And I'm literally just walking to the next spot and then they just take it out.
That's so cool.
That's really cool.
That's also a lot of work on their part too. I mean,
my whole joke was like it's like three or four more setups whenever you're working with Eli. So I always knew that the actress would be like, oh great, Todd's in this script.
He's here again.
And then I go, well, I better be the life of the party so that they're at least going, yay, Todd's working today. It's going to be fun. Not boo, Todd's working and now there's 15 more setups.
I got to do this five times. So you worked with Samuel, you worked with, I can't remember Don Oliveri's character's name.
Lydia,
thank you. And you worked with HRG.
Yeah.
And you worked with Lauren, who, by the way, Lauren, not his date. She's just Lauren. It's just Lauren. Joke they kept playing in the Thanksgiving episode.
Just Lauren. It was funny.
Just Lauren. It was funny.
And that shot when Hayden stabs her arm.
Yeah.
That was one of the most priceless moments, I think.
That was great.
When she just looks at the guy and just shoves the knife into her arm. I laughed out loud.
That was great.
Yeah.
And who else have you?
I've worked with Zachary Quinto. I've worked with Milo.
It's Milo?
Milo Ventimiglia.
I didn't know if it was Milo or Milo.
Milo.
Okay.
Peter Petrelli.
Sure.
And I've worked with, briefly I've worked with Ando and Hiro.
Okay.
I worked with Greg Grunberg. I still have another scene to go shoot with him when I get back from the break. And he's Parkman, Matt Parkman.
Ask him if he's still enjoying his Pink Floyd the Wall action figures that I gave him.
Oh, you gave him some Pink Floyd?
Well, because, you know, when I was doing the toy stuff, we made the toys for Alias. We did the action figures and statues. So they were in our booth at Comic-Con one year, and he wanted a set of those because we had done those the same year.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely talk to him about it.
And I'm sure he won't remember.
On Tuesday.
You go back to work that soon,
huh?
Uh-huh. So what was I going to ask you about? Well, we don't really want to know anything about the story, but you're pretty much on for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, through the finale.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I mean, what I loved about what they did with the character without giving anything away, they found a way to make me a henchman and then slowly have me affect events.
Oh, that's nice.
To the point where it becomes a bit of a linchpin.
Yeah.
So that, which you just think is just another sort of, what do you want me to do, boss?
Yeah.
Bad guy, slowly becomes kind of integral to what's occurring in the story of this season.
Now, let's hear you say that. What do you want me to do, boss, with your lip buttoned?
With my lip buttoned?
Well, how's this, boss?
What's this?
From Bugs Bunny.
Very good.
Button your lip mussy.
I can't do it better than you're doing it.
Now, the other thing I was going to ask you is, I really liked your character on that first episode that you were in, because I like how he sends you off to do this dirty deed.
Yeah.
And you go there and you just knock on the door and you're like, hey, I was sent here to take this thing. Are you going to give it to me, or do I have to be a jerk?
Well, you know,
I thought that was awesome.
The thing that after conversations with the producers and stuff, I wanted to make sure that he likes his job, and he likes his power.
Right.
But not in a supervillain way.
Right.
Like Zachary has that nail, that sort of relish in the evil.
Yeah.
The character's not necessarily evil. He does some dubious things, but I don't think he's straight up evil. He's more opportunistic.
Yeah.
And he's loyal.
Right.
But he's just like, sure, I'm doing this now. Great. I don't want to hurt anybody.
Right.
But if I got it, I will.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting for me, because I've played, you know, just bad dudes before. And I thought it would be interesting to play this guy as much more of a foot soldier.
Right.
As much more of a, you know, as opposed to malevolent.
Yeah.
Like in the D&D scale, I suppose.
Well, that's, and it's kind of interesting too, because
chaotic neutral.
I don't know. And we know that's already outside your scope of love for gaming. But I mean, do we necessarily think that all the people at the carnival they're not necessarily bad people?
No, because they're not at all.
Because
not
Samuel
at all.
Is spinning a tale that was not part of their life before his brother died.
Right, right. And even Nepper, Samuel, I think they even have him, they walk the line of, is he right or is he wrong? Is
right.
he justified or isn't he? What is ultimately his motives, and what is... I would say, in terms of viewers, they would go, yeah, he's this year's baddie.
Right.
He's the big bad in Buffy terms.
Yeah.
He would be considered. But it's much like Magneto. You
sure.
go, well, he's got a point.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
And that's interesting. And so, but if you go, well, yeah, but Claire are the heroes. These are Mossy. Hero
right.
is the hero. Therefore, these people would be the villains. But I think they blurred the line a little bit this season, and it makes
and it's much more fun that way, because
interesting TV.
I have to say, I did not like Danko, and part of the reason I didn't like him is because he played the character to the point where we would hate him. you know, obviously doing it on purpose, but. I don't like that kind of story as much as when there is a lot of gray, because then you find yourself conflicted when you're, you know, if you're invested in the show, you find yourself conflicted a little bit sometimes, which is
is interesting TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go back to something you said a minute ago. You said you've played a lot of bad guys, like you played Dale on The Riches,
uh-huh.
who was definitely a bad guy.
Yeah.
But your background is in improv and comedy.
Yeah, oddly.
But you
well,
play
not
a
before
lot of...
that. Before that, I mean, I have a straight up theater background.
Yeah.
From Illinois State University, and just like since high school and junior high school, I've been acting.
Yeah.
But then I specialized for years in Chicago, because at one point in my life, like Saturday Night Live was
the
Golden Palace. Yeah. And so I spent 6 years in Chicago doing improvisational comedy, and I was a member of the Second City Chicago, and was up for Saturday Night Live back in the day. And And then it was, and I moved to New York, and then had a comedy group there, and I moved to Los Angeles because I wanted to like be on Will and Grace.
Right.
Like the whole goal was to just sort of follow that Tom Hanks route.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
somewhere along the way, my dark circles, deep voice, and 6'2"-ishness, and I think just a theater background, having done like bigger roles, it lent itself, and I started getting cast as, you know, rapists and murderers and,
yeah.
and villains. And I think also, but then also finding the humor. I mean, I think Dale had his funny moments, and I think Eli has his funny moments.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to me. I am far more interested in this realm now
yeah.
than I was. I'm not necessarily interested in doing situation comedy or sketch comedy anymore.
Yeah.
I'll host SNL. Yeah. But I don't necessarily want to do sketch comedy as a career. I'm much right. more interested in hour-long drama stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, now, okay, well, you know what? What were we going to say?
Maybe you can let me ask a question.
Yeah, wow.
Well, you didn't get close to the mic. I didn't
know. He did once. He did a
How
fade
could
in.
I?
He faked in, and then he got...
No, I do want to talk a little about comedy, because I caught Please. You, surprisingly, on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
And that
was
great.
Well, thank
I mean,
you.
If you were going to be on a season of Curb Your Enthusiasm,
right?
this was the one.
Right?
How cool was that?
It was really cool. It was one of those things, because I've known Jeff Garland since 90, since back in the day in Chicago. And so the audition was basically me improvising with, I don't know if everybody knows, but that's an improvised show. They give you a destination and a departure point, and they say, okay, the scene has to land here information-wise, but what you say is up to you, and how you get there is up to you, between you and Larry. And so that's what the audition is. Larry's in there, and he's like, oh, you know, hey, try that again. Da-da-da, that was funny. That was good. And then and Jeff was there at the audition, and so it was like, and the if you have seen the show, the audition was all about the Lakers stuff and all about the Lyme disease. The deer tick.
So did you know in the audition that you would be in that episode filming the reunion?
I did not. I found
so
that
was
out.
Like a
I found
gift
that
from
out
God.
Later. I was like after I got the part, I was given a phone call saying, oh, and by the way, you're the guy who helps facilitate the Seinfeld audition and you'll be doing the table read scene. So all my actual acting scene stuff all took place in the episode prior to that one. But then I got to be, you know, set dressing at Television History, you know, it was neat.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah. And it was a nice surprise for me to be, because I was so excited to see it. And then there you are.
Ta-da!
So,
yeah,
very cool.
It was of having not never having auditioned for the show prior to that either. So it was kind of nice. It was like my first audition for Curb, and then what a plum role. And I was on a TV show for 2 years, and the more... And I did 2 episodes of Curb and got more publicity and attention for doing this president of NBC on these episodes than I did for The Riches ever. In fact, after we went to the premiere at Paramount, and I'm standing there with my wife, and this woman comes walking over telling me how much she enjoyed, how hilarious she thought I was, and I look up and it was Meg Ryan.
Oh my God, that's
like,
cool.
Meg Ryan thinks I'm funny. Meg Ryan thinks I'm funny. Meg Ryan thinks I'm funny. Oh, hey, did you see that? Did you see that, honey?
How'd she look in real life?
She's adorable. She's Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
She's got those beautiful blue eyes, and she's just like, she's Meg Ryan. She's America's sweetheart.
is that back on her now?
What?
I thought.
What, you mean, did she wrestle it out of the stony grip of Sandra Bullock?
Exactly. That's what I was wondering. Who I think clubbed Jennifer Aniston over the head for it a few years back, too.
She did, and it all comes back to Meg.
Yeah. Doesn't it all?
Everything's
though.
Coming up Meg.
Doesn't
and
it
by
always.
The way, if there's any producers listening to this, I think Joe versus the Volcano could be a great Broadway musical. Just putting that out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Why not?
Just putting that out there.
Who doesn't want to see a volcano on Broadway?
I know. And
I see
I'll
no
do
show
the Tom
fans.
Hanks role.
There you go. There you
yeah.
go. Because he's not really working anymore, is he?
No.
Hasn't he retired?
Yeah.
We like to make up celebrity gossip on this show.
Uh-huh.
So if you
that's
have
fair.
Any to add in here.
That's fair.
So now
John Goodman's
now
a
would
woman.
Be the time.
Yeah. That won't affect your career, of course.
No, did you hear that, folks? John Goodman is a woman. You heard it here first. And you've worked with him, so you would know, right?
I've never worked with John Goodman.
Shh.
A lot I've worked
yeah.
with him.
See, that's what I thought. Okay, so then you also, which was funny, this because the same week your first Heroes episode was on, mm-hmm. you were also on, well, Curb Your Enthusiasm was right around then.
Yeah.
And then you were also on Lie to Me that week.
I was.
As the host of a casino.
I was
gambling
I owned
tournament.
A casino.
Right.
I was a casino. I was the Steve Wynn.
Right. And you facilitated this big
poker tournament.
That was, there was a little nefariousness going on behind the scenes, but.
Yeah, I'll be, like, yeah. I wasn't down. I wasn't chaotic.
Yeah, you weren't a bad guy.
Chaotic evil again.
No, no.
I was
neutral
was,
evil.
I was neutral evil. And that was what was lovely. And you know, what's been lovely about these two things. And Lie to Me, I had worked with the producers of that show on a show called Life that was on NBC last year.
Yeah.
I had done that. And so, again, was in for a couple parts for them that just didn't work out. And then you just get a phone call one day and they're going, hey, they're giving you this part. I'm like, what is it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And the suits were great.
Yeah. That's a fun show.
Really fun show.
It.
And Tim Roth was lovely. And Kelly Williams and Mackay, they were just lovely people to work with.
Yeah.
And we drove out to Pechanga Casino Resort for one day. And just lovely. I like acting. It's fun.
Yeah. Was there, did you have an aha moment when you were young?
I did. To be like, my aha moment came, I think I was like 10 years old. We were driving in a car out to Ohio because my dad grew up there. And
it all comes back to Sandusky.
It does, really does. Kings Island, banana splits. The aha moment that I had was I was sitting in the back seat listening to Elvis on my little tape deck. I had a little Elvis cassette and I was listening to this. And the moment was, this is his job. I was listening to Elvis sing, and then suddenly it became aware, like, this is his occupation. My dad gets up and goes to work, and he does this. Elvis gets up and goes to work, and he does that. And so the syllogism fell into place. Well, if a man can have that job, I will be a man someday, so I could have a job in the entertainment field.
Right.
Not that I wanted to be a singer, but just somebody can be employed. And then I think, you know, at one point, you know, in my 20s and whatnot, and I went to school for theater and whatnot, so I always had acting as my dream, but it was that, well, people are on TV. I got that covered.
Yeah.
I'm a person.
You're a person.
So they have to give the jobs to somebody.
Sure.
So why not me?
Right.
And so it never felt like an unachievable goal.
Right.
Once I broke it down to simple, and you know, my dad was a maintenance engineer for his whole career. And so he was the first one up and he was, you know, first one out the door and the last one home at the end of the day and never complained about his job. So I had that kind of blue collar Chicago work ethic that I applied to acting. You know, for me, acting, the magic occurs between action and cut. And everything after that is all labor and just work and business. And it's not special or magic or, you know, glamorous
right.
at all.
Yeah.
And so I never doubt that I could do it since I made that realization that it's somebody's job. It's just somebody's job. It's not special or magic. And I'm grateful for the career I have. It's a like there are people out there, and I said this the other day to somebody, there are people out there who work, who do important work for a living. There are heart surgeons and people, you know, smoke jumping into forest fires. I do make-em-ups and I play dress-ups. and you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to devalue the work that I do. I think there is value to it, and not everybody can do it. Not everybody has the temperament to do it.
Right.
But I also recognize that it's a job.
Sure.
It's a job like anybody else's job.
So, okay. So let's talk about some of your favorite things that you've worked on in terms of what was the most surprisingly fun part that you've played?
Supernatural.
Okay.
Supernatural by far was one of the favorite things that I got to do.
You play Bela Lugosi's Dracula.
I play Bela Lugosi's Dracula. And what was so fun about that was, A, I had done a pilot with Jared Padalecki, like 7 years ago. So it was a reunion to work with him again.
We should tell people who don't know this, not the same Jared from Subway.
No, it is actually.
Oh, it is. Okay, Hollywood gossip for you folks.
Not the same Jared. So I had worked with him. So it was a reunion for him. And then the fun challenge for me was, because that role has been bastardized down to Muppets. You know what I mean? Like there is such a cliched version of what that is, and it's the standard fake Dracula. And I'm like, well, I wanted to recreate the 30s Lugosi from that film,
right?
Because he went on and played other vampires, but I wanted to do him in that movie with all the histrionics and all the gestures and all the eyebrow raises and the inflection and the Hungarianness of it all. And so I got to watch the movie like 30 times. I had clips on YouTube in my trailer before I'd go shoot the scene, and then they put the costume and then pale out the face and put the lipstick on And they gave me fangs, and many of the fans of the show have heard the story that I balked at a little bit because I said Lugosi didn't have fangs
right
in that movie. And they're like, shut up.
fangs. People want fangs.
People want fangs. and so it was fun to sort of be a purist and work on that role because so much in TV is about hitting your mark and not talking very loud. And to play a role that was so larger than life and scenery chewing, and that was one of the most fun roles that I've ever gotten to do.
Yeah, and it couldn't have been done. I mean, it could only be done on TV because they shot it in black and white, and in the movies, of course, all the projectors are in color. So you couldn't have even done that.
I don't know you.
You know, this is a high art podcast.
Yes.
You're doing now, right?
Exactly. Yes.
And then, okay, so what about as far as, do you want to ask one first before I ask my next one?
Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, what was your most difficult role in terms of two things? Most difficult in terms of the challenge of the acting and most difficult in terms of, like, let's say the physicality or even just the schedule of it? Like,
The Riches was probably the most challenging. Because I had not really done stuff. You know, when you do a guest star role, your work is done in a week and then you're out. You know? And the Buffy stuff and the Angel stuff, the makeup stuff is not the most fun when you're sitting in the chair for 3 hours and they're, you know, basically, essentially, it's like, here's packing tape and half golf ball sized contact lenses. Now go act. They wrap your head. But The Riches, it would be... You know, the one scene that comes to mind is it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm having to carry Red West, who played my father,
right,
through the woods while having a 2-page monologue and then sobbing my eyes out at the end. So that's not something that was
a great episode.
Thank you.
That was really great.
Not something that my skill set had been called upon to do, except in college, maybe. You know what I mean? Not for years. And that, you know, you have a play to ramp up into that scene. This was back to one. So you have to kind of reset all that stuff and do it again. Again, I'm not smoke jumping. I'm just walking and talking, basically. But, you know, the career asks very strange things of you.
Yeah.
I was saying to my mother yesterday, I said, no other career outside of prostitution says, hey, you two, go make out. Get naked for money. Go.
Hey, how often have you had to do that? Have you had a lot of makeout scenes?
Yeah. I had the lovely Caitlin Olsen in played Hartley Underwood in The Riches.
Okay,
she's my one-armed lover.
Yeah.
And then I've done other things where I've had to pilots and such.
Yeah.
I've had to get up and on the ladies.
And any weirdness there or not really?
It's just it's always weird. It's always just a weird situation because it's, I mean, I've been married for 12 years.
Right. And you're making out with a stranger.
And I'm making out with a stranger, essentially. Yeah. There was, and then a lovely actress, Olivia, that I had to kiss in on The Mentalist.
Right.
And what was very strange is that she was 20 years old. Gorgeous girl.
Wow.
Really sweet girl. But 20 years old. Now I'm a 41-year-old man. And so conceivably, her dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I could have had her when I was in high school. So, I have a cousin who was living with us at the time, who was also 20 years old at the time, and she was doing extra work. And I just kept going, could I have conceivably walked into work that day and gone, oh, here, Todd, here's the actress that you'll be working with? And it would have been my cousin.
Well, you know, that's happened before in Hollywood.
It's so strange.
We've talked about that on the show before. You know that actress, Kyler Lee? Okay. She was in a movie where the guy who was her love interest was her brother in real life, and they actually made out in the film.
So I don't even.
It's like, why? Why couldn't they have just cast somebody else? It was like a
put that so that we're talking about it right now.
Well, I guess so. I guess so. But it made me. Well, why wouldn't you just recast one of those parts?
Yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, it was. Yeah. But for this situation for us for The Mentalist, it was like, again, she was gorgeous. For all intents and purposes, you go, who wouldn't want to make out with a 20-year-old gorgeous girl? And she was lovely, funny, and we had a great time. And she had to be dead in her underwear next to me for hours. So, you know, covered in blood. It was very strange.
Yeah.
But it's never a comfortable thing. Maybe it is for some people, but it's not for me.
Was that I'm sorry to interrupt, but was that the first season of The Mentalist? Or when was that?
Yeah, I think it was the end of season one. It was Red John's Friends is the name of it. And I end up dead in a bathtub
at
the end of it.
Thanks for ruining that. I was just going to go
watch
it.
It was season one.
I know, but I want to go back and see it now because I like that show now. It's kind of fun.
Rosebud's a sled. E.T. dies and goes back to life.
Oh, come on.
What?
Now.
What?
Indiana Jones walks out of the fridge.
She's a he.
I've never seen that movie.
Okay.
But I still knew what you were going to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I am a big Stargate fan.
So what is it now that you want to do that you haven't done yet?
You know, I have very little presence in film right now. And I've been cut out of a lot of big budget comedies. My name is in the credits longer than I'm actually on screen in Yumi and Dupree. That's my claim to fame there, because my whole storyline was gutted. My heroes right now are like Daniel Day-Lewis, like There Will Be Blood, blew my mind. Heath Ledger, Johnny Depp, like those character guys. That's the course that I would like to go. And so, you know, at this point in my career, I go recurring on heroes. How do you draw a straight line from that to There Will Be Blood someday?
I think Spock is somewhere in between.
Well, but somebody's doing it.
No, I know, but I'm saying.
I've been a Vulcan, my friend.
Have you?
Well, I was actually a Romulan disguised as a Vulcan.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was cool.
Yes, on Enterprise, yeah.
Now, let me ask you something about how Hollywood works in this sense.
It's wind up.
It is. It's just a metal key.
It's like steampunk.
So cool.
I know. It's like Clockwork Town.
Clockwork. I like that. I think that should be another story that you work on.
Yeah.
William Gibson. Now, because you've done stuff with whoever you've done stuff with in terms of projects that you've worked on before, can you, call a buddy and say, hey, can you get me an audition for the next Star Trek? Does it work like that or not really?
Doesn't work like that.
No, that's
doesn't
too bad.
Work like that. No, it's all. You know, here's the thing: is also, you know, when you're on a TV show, there's films that shoot at times that you can't work.
Right.
It's all audition and then reputation. So, like, what my dream? I've been developing a pilot for myself that I think we're going to launch first as a web comic. It's going to be on my website in 2010.
Cool.
And then hopefully could develop that into a series. I would like to, if Heroes comes back for another season, I'd like to work with them. If not, get on another show. In the meantime, either develop something for myself, which is what I plan to do, because I have a show that I would like to create, a genre show, actually, that I'd like to create for myself.
Cool.
And then... just diversify. Like I write and act. Again, I would like to be doing what Daniel Day, when I'm 53 in the next 12 years, I would like to be doing those kinds of roles. I would like to, like Robert Downey Jr. is another person. And so, you know, who knows? I guess, and then those are conversations that I have with my agent about what we say yes to and what we say no to and what we try to get in on and what we try to guide things in that direction. And a lot of it is happenstance and seeing what's in front of you.
Yeah. Now I didn't see, I have not seen There Will Be Blood yet,
but
I did really love him in Gangs of New York. I mean, just a brutally chilling, horrifying, but real person.
And sympathetic. Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable how great that guy is.
Yeah, he's as good as it gets. So it's like when one throws down the DDL card, that's like basketball players going, hey, I want to do Jordan. I want to be like Jordan. Can I do what Jordan does? Okay, great. That sounds good. I'll just be like Jordan.
Yeah.
But the nice part is having being able to live in both worlds, in comedy and in drama, keeps me employed.
Yeah.
Because there's always some sort of part for me.
Yeah.
But I've played enough. I'm developing a career as a character actor, as somebody who plays somebody who's not just a funny boy from Chicago. Like I've been given the honor of playing more interesting, more layered, more strangely off-center roles. From the riches and the villains that I've played on other shows and whatnot.
And I just thought of a funny parallel. You know, you were talking about you were playing basically the 1930s Bela Lugosi vampire. You also played a 1930s Terminator.
I guess I did, didn't
How
I?
How cool is that?
Yeah, I did. Well, I think it was the 20s, actually.
Yeah, it was a little earlier. That was a fun episode.
It was really fun. There are moments I have those in my career. Like I said, I have stood on Vulcan.
Yeah.
with a lerpa in my hand. So I've had the ears. I've had the hair. Like those moments, I have been a Terminator. I have been able, I have been on Buffy. I have fought Buffy. Like there's moments as a fan of genre stuff, there's moments where I step outside myself and go, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like just going, I have now been, I am part of the Star Trek canon.
Right.
I am part of the Terminator canon. I am part of the Buffy canon. That, and now I'm part of the Heroes canon, and that's, and Supernatural. So it's quite an honor. The one that got away would be Battlestar, I guess. And I was supposed to test for Gaius.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to do a half-hour sitcom at the time, so we turned down the test. And again, James Callis, who plays Gaius, played it to the nines, and I never would have gotten the role anyway because he was in the mix and he nailed it and beautifully took it. But that's the one that got away. That's the one I was like, ugh, if I only gotten to guest star on Battlestar and been a part of that, that would have been nice.
Yeah, that is cool. And go ahead, and then I'll say what I was going to say.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's really cool that you love so much of the type of stuff that you get to do for work. Because sometimes I read things with actors who seem like they either don't appreciate or downright dislike the stuff that they're involved in. And it's disappointing to hear that, especially if it's something that you like as a fan. You
know
what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's pretty
fun. And then it's also in getting to audition for these things. So getting a chance to audition for the shows that you like to do. So I'm very fortunate at this stage in my career. And it's weird because I was having a conversation the other day. Being a man in Hollywood at 41, I still feel like I'm just getting warmed up.
Yeah.
And so that's like I do realize that my best work is ahead of me. And I've gotten the chance to do a lot of good work.
That was a knock on wood, by the way.
That was a knock on wood.
Lou actually just said something that I was going to say in different words, but expound on, is you can tell in what you're saying right now. And I remember from knowing you before that you are a big fan, first and foremost.
Yeah.
I mean, I just remember working with you at the movie theaters. All you did was talk movies.
Yeah.
And so keeping that in mind, I mean, we're in the subject of TV right now. What are some of the shows you like to watch? I mean, just...
I just last night watched part one of Doctor Who, End of Time. Big Doctor Who fan, big Torchwood fan.
I keep trying to get Tony into Doctor Who, but he won't bite.
Start with the Eccleston season
one. Yeah, you have to start.
Start at the beginning. And then just run. And I love Doctor Who. We love Torchwood. Battlestar was the finest show on TV. I think the best show that I'm currently in watching is Mad Men, which isn't a genre show.
It.
Mad Men, that season finale of Mad Men was as good as any piece of entertainment gets. It was as good as any feature gets, that last season.
You know, you kind of have the look to where I could see you fitting in on that show.
I'll do it. I auditioned for the role of the stand-up comic, Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
But that guy, again, like I never regret roles that I don't get because they always get the right guy. And I get the roles that I'm the right guy for too. So I'm not jealous, but it's like there's moments where you go, that would have been fun.
Right.
The Joker would have been fun.
You know what would be fun to see you as is the competing cheerleading coach on Glee.
I don't watch the Glee. I watched the first few episodes and I went, I got it.
Yeah.
But I'll take the job and it looks like it would be a lot of fun. But I watched Supernatural.
Can you sing?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard you sing, which is why I was asking.
Don't make me. But yeah, we watch a lot. We watched Warehouse 13. Like, I watch a lot of the genre stuff. I love Supernatural. Watched Dollhouse. I did.
Well, yeah, we've spent plenty of time, you know, talking about the sadness of Dollhouse on this
Stargate
show.
Stargate Universe. A buddy of mine played Alpha, so that was fun to watch Dollhouse because I love watching that.
Well, I knew you were a big Firefly fan, too.
Huge, huge. And, you know, Buffy and Angel.
Sure.
Having... you know, fought those people. That's what we're watching mostly. I did not watch The Fringe. Flash Forward, we're watching that. And then Modern Family and 30 Rock. Those are the comedies that we watch. Entourage. And then I just got into season one of The Wire, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah. So you like Modern Family.
Love Modern Family.
Yeah, it's a great show.
We talk about that a lot. We love it as well.
Yeah, it's a really funny show.
Yeah. So you got to get in on that action, too.
Yeah, that'd be
fun. All right, cool. Well, we are going to take a quick break then, and we'll be back to talk about movies in just a minute.
Sounds good.
All right, we're back and we're going to talk about movies. But first, before we do that, Todd, you wanted to plug another TV show?
Well, a bunch of, yeah, like the BBC show Being Human, which I think is about to go into series two. They call it series over there,
they,
not season.
They do call them series.
Because they're British. If you haven't watched Being Human, because they're British. Yeah. If they haven't watched Being Human, I highly recommend that show. It's kind of like Spaced meets Buffy, but not.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's funny. It's scary. It was maybe... maybe it was only six episodes. And then there's another great mini series that you can get on DVD from BBC called Jekyll.
Okay. About what we think it's about.
Yeah, exactly. Modern retelling.
Yeah.
It's quite wonderful. And Stephen Moffat, who is taking over as the head writer on Doctor Who, did Jekyll.
Oh, okay.
And Stephen Moffat wrote some of the best Who episodes. He wrote Blink.
Yeah.
The one with the statues.
That was cool.
And then the one in the library with the shadows. And
oh,
Alex
that was
Kingston.
That was creepy.
That's Stephen Moffat as well. And now he's taking over the whole series.
Silence in the Library, I believe was that one. That was a good episode.
Really good. You got to watch Who.
Yeah, you got to watch Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's
you
great
You suck,
stuff.
Tony.
Anyway.
all right, but now we're going to talk about movies. And did you see something, Tony?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Todd, first of all, have you seen anything lately? By the way, did you see the new Christmas Carol?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
Because we both loved it too.
Nice and scary.
Yeah. And it was, we talked about how we both appreciated that it wasn't like a crazy Jim Carrey movie. It was just a like really cool telling of
well
this
acted.
Great story. Yeah.
Well acted.
We also appreciated how it stayed so close to the source material that it didn't do, hey, let's do some crazy, you know, stuff with CG and like, I mean, yeah, it's all
did
CG.
The chase but, scenes. And
right,
stuff
exactly.
Like that, yeah.
They didn't like, put in shrinking like pizzazz him. Moments or yeah.
No, I thought it was lovely and I thought it was heartbreaking and it did all the things that you want from that story.
Yeah, we were both saying that we were both big fans of the sort of classic black and white one that, you know, everyone knows. And we're both saying how now if we were gonna tell someone to watch A Christmas Carol, we'd tell them to watch this one.
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah. I really had a great time with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you do see Avatar.
Yes.
Oh, you haven't?
I wonder
can
if
we call
you,
it a Vader?
We can call it a Vader. Okay. Yeah. If you want to be that much closer to Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you are going to make a connection with a particular line of dialogue that I did from
a
video game.
Know.
So, yeah, you'll have to talk about that after.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'm seeing it on the first.
Okay.
3D.
Yeah, we're seeing it at the 3D IMAX at AMC. Yeah.
Now, Todd was saying at lunch that it was his understanding that it was actually shot in IMAX 3D. And if that's the case, then I need to go see it in an IMAX 3D.
I thought it was.
Yeah. I know somebody who saw it in 2D for some reason and just thought it was okay. And then she saw it again in 3D and absolutely loved it.
Okay.
So,
I reserve judgment because I have none.
Yeah. And we won't tell you what we thought. But
okay.
You can listen.
I'll listen to the podcast.
You can listen to episode 48 and find out.
Okay, that I will.
Okay, so what else have you seen recently, movie-wise?
I just saw Nine.
Yeah?
And?
It was fun. It was fun. Again, I was saying to Lou, the stakes are incredibly low, because you're like, oh no, what's going to happen with this successful Italian director who's sleeping with gorgeous foreigners? Like you just go, how do I, it's hard for me to invest, I keep bumping the mic.
That's okay.
It's hard for me to invest in the stakes of this. That being said, there's not a bad performance in it.
How about the visuals?
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Makes you just want to go and smoke cigarettes and stay in Milan and drink espresso and watch Penelope Cruz writhe around. Like, well, where's the
downside? I don't need to go to Italy for that.
You don't need to see Nine to want that.
No.
But it's a really good time at the movies. Fergie nails her song, but she's probably the only true singer of the group, isn't she?
Yeah, and she's Fergalicious.
She really is. Yeah. She really is. Saw Nine.
You,
I saw.
You don't even get that reference.
I still think of her as that little girl from Wild Orchid.
Nice.
I don't know anything that Wild Orchid did. So
she. Then we saw Princess the Frog.
Oh,
I have children. It was good.
Did you say Princess the Frog?
Princess and the Frog.
Oh, Princess and the Frog. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that. Yeah, and.
It was good. I mean, it was really well told and, you know, and it was well animated. It's nice to see 2D animation back in the theaters.
Not incredible.
No, it was lovely. I mean, it's on par. It's not, I mean, it certainly isn't Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
But it was really good, and it was. I love the environment. I'm a big fan of New Orleans, and so it was lovely to go there for a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, Tony, what did you see?
Todd, did you see Up in the Air?
I did.
And
I really enjoyed.
I loved it.
I really enjoyed that film. Yeah.
There's so much that like makes you happy about it, so much makes you sad about it.
Well, and you go, it's like they wrote and shot it last week. Like
right.
How current it right. felt for a film that was probably written 2 years ago and shot, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, how current it was. It was unbelievable.
What I loved most about it was you thought it was going a certain way, and I'm not going to give out any spoilers, thought it was going a certain way, and then it completely takes a turn, and then I was disappointed with the turn, but then after sitting with it, it's the best thing they could have done.
It's amazing. Yeah, it was really well done.
Beautifully written.
It was
written.
A tonal feature. Well, you know, written. And I'm a huge Cameron Crowe fan, and there were moments of it that sort of smacked of Jerry Maguire, but it didn't go that Hollywood-ish. Cameron
right.
Crowe tends to go very, very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Inside jokey.
No, wrap I think Cameron Crowe, I think
in a bow at the end.
Yes, it's very shiny, much more of a piece of candy. Up in the Air, I thought just stayed very smart and integrity in its own way. Again,
right.
I like Jerry Maguire, but this one had elements of that.
Right.
Without going to a more Hollywood ending.
And wasn't the acting just amazing by
beautiful.
Especially some of those
Anna
little
Kendrick,
characters that I've never seen in anything before.
And the woman who played his sister who was in August Osage County, she was lovely. I forget her name.
Okay, now just pretend for a second that some of us have never heard of this film because we have, you know, very little opportunity to go to the movies anymore. who's in it and what's it about?
George
basically?
Clooney.
Oh,
and
okay.
Vera...
Farmiga.
Famiglia, yeah. And then Anna Kendrick, who was in the Twilight series.
Okay. And she was just the best in there. Why do you laugh?
Oh, I wish this was on video. When Todd said Twilight, the face that he made was priceless. That's why you're Todd Stashwick, right there.
Yep.
Would you like to talk about New Moon?
Oh, we don't have enough tape.
Okay. You know this is digital, right?
We don't have enough ones
Hard
and
drive.
Zeros.
We don't have enough of those memories to record it.
No, I just had such a
you
visceral,
hated it, didn't
angry.
You?
And it was it's no, but it's the writing that I had a problem with. The actors are fine. The cinematography is fine. It's
but
directed
why
well.
Was the whole movie cast with people who look like they're about ready to fall asleep? Everyone's like,
do I have an answer to that?
I don't know. I don't know.
No, I thought the actors were fine. I just have a very. I just think it. I think it rewards very poor. Behavior, because the one thing that people kept saying to me is like, no, you have to read the book. I'm like, no, I don't. But you have to read the whole series. I'm like, no, I don't. I need to sit in a movie theater, and from beginning to end, you need to hold me, and you need to reward me, and you need to earn my money. And
I say that to people sometimes, but it's usually not about New Moon.
What I mean is people keep holding it back to this five-book series or whatever it is, four-book series. And I go, yeah, a movie needs to stand by itself. And if this movie stands by itself, the message of the film is so, pardon me, is so twisted and so wrong-headed.
Yeah.
That I was viscerally angry, like looking around like Emperor's New Clothes, like people... I'm just burping up
That's
all this
fine.
RC Cola because I'm getting
Chang.
Sick thinking
oh,
about
the...
New Moon. No, I get very angry at that.
That's how I felt when I saw Hostel. I actually was Hostel, but spelled differently. But I was so mad, and I was looking around at all these people and leaving the theater after listening to, you know, 17-year-old kids saying, oh my God, that was the best movie ever. I was angry. I was like angry at the youth
but see,
of our
Hostel,
society.
I don't think attempts to proselytize, and New Moon does. New Moon asks you to buy this abstinence message, which is a fine message,
right.
But they couch it in really irresponsible storytelling, I think, where a character who does nothing but abuse her family, abuse her friends, put her own life in danger, and mope gets what she wants at the end.
Excellent.
And I find that really irresponsible filmmaking. And you go, so on one hand, you can't say, hey, as an author, listen to my abstinence message and buy it. And then at the same time go, well, yeah, she's just in love, so she's okay to behave that way. She's okay to do irresponsible
right.
behavior and still get what she wants. And I find that really, really misogynistic. And it's sort of an entitlement. And then there's this other message that's, men, if you're sexually aroused, you will eat your women. Men, if you're angry, you will hurt your women. And women, stay with them anyway. That's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
It's about abuse.
Because really, after you eat them and hurt them, you kind of want them to leave. So if somebody's telling him to stay,
I mean, there literally
like,
is a character whose her face is clawed because her boyfriend's a werewolf, and he clawed her when he got mad, and she stuck with him.
Yeah.
And then Edward's like, I can't sleep with you because I want to eat you, basically, is the message. And then she'll go, I'll stay with you. In fact, make me undead so that we can have sex.
Yeah.
It bothers me quite a bit.
I cannot imagine wanting to go see those films.
Well,
personally.
The first one I kind of enjoyed. Yeah. I kind of enjoyed enough to go, yeah, I'll play it on the money to be part of the Zeitgeist and see what this is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't want to be in the dark.
Right.
About a lot of things that are, I mean, this is a movement.
Sure.
And so I needed to know what it was just to be part of the popular culture of talking about this stuff. And look, I love vampires, so, and werewolves.
Yeah.
But see, being human, it handles these issues in a really noble, interesting way. And again, I don't think a film need be a moral compass.
Right.
But don't say you want to be.
Right.
And then
do
very,
it.
Very questionable moral decisions. Yeah. Yeah. That's just me.
No, that's a good point.
By the way, that actress you were inquiring about, were you talking about Kara, his sister?
Yes.
Amy Morton is the actress's name. And other than an episode of ER,
she
hasn't worked for 10 years. Last thing she
Broadway.
Was in was... Oh, okay.
Broadway actress, okay. I believe, yeah.
Cool. Last thing she was in film-wise was 8mm.
Look up her trivia. See if it was her in August Osage County. I'm pretty sure it was.
That name sounds really familiar, but I can't picture her. And I don't think I saw ER that episode, or any episode for that matter.
And then, I have not seen Sherlock Holmes yet.
Yeah, I think we're going to go see. My wife and I are going to go see that tomorrow night.
She's brilliant, by the way. Amy Morton is brilliant. It was brilliant. I saw it on Broadway, August Osage County, and she's great as Clooney's sister as well.
And you know, I have to say, I really like Vera Farmiga.
Oh, she's
everything
lovely.
She's in. She
solid.
Really adds a lot of weight
solid.
to a film. And she's kind of, again, she's just kind of one of those, you know, character-y actors.
Let's combine her with Milo's last name. So it's Farmatiglia.
You know, actually, Amy Morton is from Oak Park, Illinois.
Well, I think she was a Steppenwolf actress.
There you go. Ta-da. It all comes back to Chicago.
It do.
Is Milo dating anyone? Because maybe we can hook them up and then it can be like the next, you
I don't know.
Brennifer, Jandon, whatever those things are that they do.
I don't know.
In the Hollywood. Okay, do you...
Never came up.
Did you have anything else you want to talk about for movies?
Yes.
Okay, please.
Little miscellaneous here. For now, Warner Brothers has stopped development on a CGI remake of Thundercats.
What? Why would they do that?
You know,
mind.
A lot of purists are very happy about that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, there's been
I
a lot
don't
of
mind.
Internet blasting.
I was never a Thundercats kid.
I never
no, me neither.
Seen it. I've
me
never
neither.
Seen a single...
No.
Is that? Are we
it's
too
after
old?
After me, yeah.
Is that what it is?
After me.
Okay. Another Marvel superhero is
wait,
in the
wait, did you see Transformers when you were a kid? Because I never saw that either.
No,
me neither.
Really.
No.
Don't know. I didn't know anything about it before I saw the films.
No, I knew the toys existed.
Yeah, I knew they existed, but I never had them.
And I knew the more than meets the eye. Yeah, I could sing the jingle. Yeah.
That doesn't
you
really constitute
sing.
A fan,
yeah,
I guess.
Did you hear that?
That's good.
That was like Glee.
Another Marvel superhero movie is in the works. The first Avenger, Captain America, begins shooting in June.
Who's
and Wolfman
playing?
Direct. Well, no word on cast yet.
I think.
But Wolfman director
talk,
Joe
and I know
Johnston.
The fans are going to go kook, but I heard there was talk of McConaughey.
Is that true?
Heard talk.
You know, but Captain America wears a shirt, so.
Wow.
That would be impossible.
Look, I did a film with him that he wore no shirt.
Well, of course you did, because it
look,
was one
if,
of his films.
If my chest looked like that, I would be shirtless right now.
Right.
I'll be
and
honest.
It's cold here.
That's what I'm saying. That's how proud of the work. He's a lovely guy.
Mr. T has turned down an offer to cameo in the big screen remake of The A-Team. He states that having someone else play the role that he made famous leaves him no reason to have any involvement in the film, and he pities the fool.
Oh, does come on, Mr. T.
No, I wrote that.
Come on.
Nice. I'm glad you wrote that,
that
part.
That upsets me. Why? Aw, you know, that's like when what's his name? When what's his name? Captain Kirk.
Shatner.
Thank you. William Shatner was all sour grapes about not being asked to be in Star Trek. I don't like that. We don't want our celebrities to be sour grapes.
I heard they're working
him
into the next one.
No. Did you really?
That's what I've heard. I didn't hear that from Zachary, but that's what I've heard.
Okay. That's interesting. You heard it here first, folks. Or
probably
somewhere
not.
Else.
I mean, if I heard it, it means I didn't hear it on the inside. I think I read it somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't hear that. Do you want me to do this one? Kim Peek, who was the inspiration for Raymond Babbitt in Rain Man, died a few days ago.
Oh.
Very sad. He could read two opposing pages of a book simultaneously, one with each eye, and remember everything he read. He could remember every day in the calendar, area codes, zip codes, maps, classical compositions, trivia, and geography well enough to give directions for any city he'd studied.
Wow.
And he knew so many plays and musical compositions that he could tell if an instrument in an orchestra was a note off. That is crazy talk. And I guess, you know, despite all of his, you know, other issues, because he couldn't really deal with any kind of concepts. It was all facts and numbers and data.
He was just a walking hard drive.
He was a walking hard drive, exactly. Despite all that and all the problems he had, he eventually came to a point in his life where he was very passionate about the things that he did do well and, you know, had actually gotten to be much more socially adaptable than in his youth. Because of all the love that he garnered for
that's
his
great.
Abilities and coming to terms with it and everything.
That's
so
great.
It's there's a cool story in the New York Times about it if you want to head over to their website and read it. And again, his name is Kim Peek. And he looks vaguely like Roger Ebert. So that's another bit
very
of trivia.
Good.
So there you go. Unless you have anything else about movies, Tony?
No.
Why is that so funny?
It was Todd's reaction. Very good. Roger Ebert.
What was your favorite movie of the year?
We did ours on the last show. Mine was Star Trek.
Okay.
Mine was, not that I thought it was the best movie of the year, but just for me, the best experience emotionally with a movie was Adventureland.
I loved Adventureland.
Yeah.
For me, it was Where the Wild Things Are.
Really?
Yeah. That one really visually, thematically kicked me in the chest. It was beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. I love that film. Did you see the film?
No.
Oh, go see this film.
I don't know that I want to get kicked in the chest, though.
Because it was the first film that I had seen in a long time that went, oh, right, that's what it's like to be nine.
Cool.
It reminds you of that. It's not a children's film. It's a film about being a child. And that's what I thought was amazing about it. Musically, like, I had seen a rough cut of it a year and a half ago, and actually Spike was present. And so I got to go up to him. I'm like, you made, like, there was a film, an old film called The Red Balloon, which is an amazing a film about being a child. And then The Little Prince as well. This film fell into that world of films for children. So it tops my list of film of the year for me.
Yeah, that was my same reason for picking Adventureland was it so put me in the place because we are of that age where we were in that scenario
at that
time.
Age, yeah.
So it was
whether it was the movie theaters or whether it was
exactly.
Yeah. Somebody needs to write a good movie theater movie.
Right.
You know? About what it's like to work at the 5 through 9.
Add that to your docket.
Done.
Okay, cool.
But see, I don't get to be one of the kids. I'd have to be the creepy
You can be
old
the manager.
Guy.
Yeah, you can be the creepy old guy who... Oh, I almost said somebody's
Al.
Name who I shouldn't.
Remember
you can be
Al?
The creepy old guy who works the movie theater when he's not driving a limo.
I'm Al. Yeah.
And actually, you know what? The manager actually would be a teenager as well.
He was.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny, if you think about it. All right, cool. We will be back in a minute to talk about everything else in the old mashup. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
We refer to that, Todd, as the moosh moosh.
Wow.
Okay, see, now we have to do it again because without the setup. It has to be more natural.
Todd would have been like, what the hell is he doing?
No,
it's fine. I would have rolled with
it. It's fine. He's good at improv. Okay. So I'm going to pretend like that never happened.
I need a location.
And now, now the cockpit of a shooting rocket. And now it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
The moosh moosh.
There you go. That's for you, Mike. Okay, German hacker researchers have cracked the 22-year-old encryption code that keeps digital cell phone conversations encrypted. The GSM Association is none too pleased, but the head hacker, a man named Karsten Knoll, did it all above board to point out the flaws in the GSM system, which constantly switches between 80 different channels. So now you know somebody could be listening. That's all I'm saying. DirecTV launched a new satellite this week that will allow them to provide the world's first all-HD 3D channel. Supposedly, DirecTV users will be able to watch the channel after a firmware upgrade. Of course, you'll also need to buy a 3D HDTV, which most people don't have. Panasonic, Sony, Samsung, LG, and others plan to start selling them next month, but I'm sure they will be ridiculously expensive. You know, I think the AT&T store by my house has one in their window.
A 3D TV?
Yeah, because as you drive by, you see this like video in 3D.
But you don't need to stare at it till the sailboat reveals.
No, you don't. Well, it's a little distracting as you're driving, but you don't need glasses.
A lot of accidents at that corner.
That's
a,
you don't need
a really pretty sailboat.
You don't need glasses, which is what's amazing. It's just like 3D without glasses. It's so cool.
You're actually swerving to avoid the sailboat.
It's called a theater.
Oh,
you were actually looking at a stage at a rehearsal.
I wasn't driving.
Of MAME.
Oh, that's weird that they would do that at the AT&T store, though. Don't you think?
It is.
Those people all have other jobs.
I tell you, space is expensive.
Times are tough. Sprint is probably a little peeved that the Palm Pre and Pixie Plus are both coming to Verizon soon, and they'll be enhanced some versus the Sprint versions, with the Plus added to the names of each product, although no word yet on what that Plus exactly means. You have what? You have the original iPhone, right?
I have what we call the Silverback.
The Silverback, nice. So it's the gorilla of iPhones.
It is. It's the dominant male.
As are you, so it's a perfect
fit.
Well
played. Yeah, I have a Silverback.
Nice.
I have a. You know, it's funny because I keep sort of secretly hoping I'd drop it and break the screen, and then I can go, honey, I gotta.
I really have to.
And then she would go, oh, okay. But up till now, nothing has given me cause to have to go upgrade it, other than the video, which will be worked out in the next edition anyway.
Yeah,
which is good now, but I think it'll be really worked out in the next version.
Yeah,
I have seen no reason for me to have upgraded. This is just a lovely phone. It's still, and it has a little heft to it that the new phones don't have.
Yeah,
like it's formidable. So I'm still very happy with my. I got it like first edition, first gen. Like the week it came out, and I'm still happy with it.
I had a 3G and upgraded to the 3GS only because my wife made herself a nice toilet phone.
Oh, there's nice. So, hey, while we're talking about iPhones, I want to plug Greg Grunberg's app, which is a lovely app.
Talking about Yowza, of course.
Yowza, yeah. It's if those of you that don't know what it is, it's a app that tells you it's coupons and sales and specials in your area. So it's got a GPS locator and then tells you within like a 5-mile radius where you can go get a free scoop of ice cream or save 10% on your purchase.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It is. It's a very cool app.
It's Yowza. That's Y-O-W-Z-A.
Exclamation
point. And
Greg
Grunberg, who plays Matt Parkman on Heroes, it's his app.
Yeah, he's one of the partners in that.
Yeah, one of the partners in that. So I wanted to shout that out for him.
Very cool. A UK-based company called Carbon Trust has received a grant from the government there to start work on OLED wallpaper that could eliminate the need for light bulbs in homes. The really nifty part is that they believe they can have an affordable product to market by 2012, just in time for the end of the world.
I was just going to say, it's not going to matter.
What point will there be?
Well, it'll matter for John Cusack because he'll be running.
There you go. There you go. And wallpaper, always a good addition to an RV.
Really is.
I think. If you love National Geographic magazine, you can now get every issue published since 1988 on a 160-gig hard drive for $200.
That's 1888.
Sorry, what did I say?
Wow.
That would not be very good, would it? I'm sorry, wow. 1888. Yeah, every issue, all the ads, everything since 1888. For $200.
All the naked African women.
That's a lot
the boys
of
in the 50s.
Droopy
were,
boobs.
Yeah.
A job.
That's a lot of droopy boobs. That's how they're advertising it, by the way. That's their slogan.
That was actually the ad I saw for it.
Lots of droopy boobs.
It's Crazy Eddie from New York. That's a lot of droopy boobs, ladies and gentlemen.
Droopy boobs.
Really, isn't that why people will shell out the $200? Yes. A job posting by Microsoft has officially outed their intent to bring Xbox Live-enabled games to Windows Mobile, mostly because the ad said they're looking for a principal program manager who can bring Xbox Live-enabled games to Windows Mobile. Tim Cook, who filled in for Steve Jobs for 6 months while Jobs was sick, received $12.3 million in Apple stock for doing so.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Good gig if you can get it. By the way, if it's Tim is busy, I will gladly fill in.
Or you get the 8 gig for $600.
Nice. Good one. Nice pull, as they say.
Thank you.
HP has filed trademarks under the names Zine and AirLife, covering handheld computers, portable handheld devices, etc. So they're going to be competing with something in some market.
When is Xbox going to jump into the handheld? Anyone?
I just said that a minute ago.
What did you say?
You said
Windows
like
Mobile. Are they going to have like a PSP?
I don't know if they're going to do that. I think they're just going to go straight for the phone. Because I don't think that... I think the way the market's playing out with the iPhone and iTouch is that people kind of want this stuff to do more than just one thing.
The
PSP has not really done well sales-wise. So.
No, but you can watch Snatch on a tiny screen, which is nice.
Excuse me?
Guy Ritchie.
But only in Japan.
Good night, everybody.
Bad news for Seagate. An ex-employee claims that they stole hard drive silencing technology from the MIT researchers who invented it, then destroyed the blueprints to hide the evidence. I really hope that's not true because I like Seagate products. If you think the Flip Mino is way too huge, then you might like the Concord Keystone. It shoots 640 by 480 video at 30 frames per second, and it's just an inch wide and 2 inches tall. You can record 2 hours of video on the 2 gigs of memory included, and it's only $70.
Got my dad the Ultra HD.
Yeah, that's a nice camera. I got one of those for Amy for her birthday last year.
It's lovely.
And along with the iPhone is one of only 2 gifts I've ever given her that she's used quite that much.
Nice.
Yeah, she never used the juicer that she begged for, and still has not even opened the metal detector I gave her like 5 years ago. Seriously.
The metal detector?
Seriously, she was like, oh, I want a metal detector. I don't know what she wanted it for, but the wife says she wants a metal detector.
You wanted a metal detector.
I got her a metal detector.
You wanted
it. It's still
it.
Unopened in the box.
My wife hasn't opened the Xbox 360 I got her.
By the way, have you ever seen that video of the Australian comedy group Tripod singing a song called Make You Happy Tonight?
Mm.
Okay, I will show you that before you leave because it's very funny.
How is that speaking of?
You'll know when you see it.
Okay.
There's a rumor that Apple will discontinue the 8 gig iPhone 3G and replace it with a 3GS version of the same capacity. Researchers have discovered an antibody which, when injected into mice, will bond with prostate cancer tissue and initiate direct cell death. It's had a 97% success rate in killing prostate cancer where that was the primary cancer in mice.
It also unleashed a 1,000-year-old evil.
But they're not advertising that.
No, that's the other side of it.
That was the one.
If you watch as the product goes by on the screen,
yeah,
may unleash a 1,000-year-old evil. It's like one of the side.
Not valid in Canada. Yeah. And an 85% success rate in
cures
mice that had...
prostate cancer will not cure prostate cancer.
In mice that had other primary cancer that metastasized.
You know how tiny those little inflatable donuts have to be for those mice with prostate cancer when they poop? It is horrible.
They're just difficult to handle.
Yes, when they go to their bridge games.
And complain about it. Maury, how's your prostate?
I can't do the cheese anymore. I tell you, it takes me a half hour to pee.
It blocks me. Hopefully similar antibodies can be found for breast and lung cancer. You know, I would like to actually wrap up on a happy story. Do you have anything other tech related?
No.
No, that's it.
You think.
Okay. I'm going to read one of these previous stories again. HP has filed trademarks under the names Zine and AirLife. Who'd have thunk it?
Nice.
There you go.
What?
Did you?
Todd has a shout out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to shout out to the lovely Supernatural fans who I'm constantly visiting with on Twitter and the Facebook. Some of the most loyal fans I have ever encountered. I got to meet a bunch of them at a convention in New Jersey this time last year, somewhere around this time, I think. But just wanted to say hello to each and every one of them. They're great, great, lovely people.
And you have a list of names that you'd like to run down?
Yes. 18 of them are named Megan, I think. No, they're all lovely. They're lovely people, and just wanted to say hello to them. And I'm hopefully they'll listen to this because I'll tweet about it. And they're cool. They're pretty cool people.
Cool. And I'm looking forward to starting to watch that series.
So. Yes. Where did you get that?
Some excellent person gave me a gift.
Hear that, Supernatural fans? I'm about to make another fan.
Woohoo! I will see you in Jersey, kids.
I got Lou season 1 for Christmas.
That was very nice of you.
Great show.
And I got you nothing.
No, you got me a podcast, my friend.
So there you go. So, of course, at this time, it means that now it is time for our votes, as always, for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Todd, please do us the honors of giving us your worst entertainment moment of the week.
Of the week?
Yeah. So anything that you did having to do with video games, TV, or movies that was just either a big disappointment or that you just really disliked.
You guys go around, and then I'll come in.
All right, Tony.
Think of it at the end.
Oh, you know what? I even though we have done this, 49 times, I have forgotten this part was coming. I will say most disappointing of the week would be the fact that every time I check my DVR, there's nothing taped because nothing is new.
Oh, right, right, right.
Once I took Jersey Shore off the priority list, that there was nothing.
Of the week, have I been
you
here?
You were actually
weekend?
Watching that, but weren't
I
you?
I saw the first one. It was research.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I have a worst.
You didn't see anything that you disliked or play any games that you're like, eh. Doesn't have to be
horrible.
Oh,
you know what? This isn't this week, but I'm a little disenchanted with Brutal Legend. I started playing it, and then suddenly the gameplay got a little real-time strategy, and that's not at all a game style that I enjoy.
Nor is it how they sold it. I mean, I would
not
have never
all.
Guessed it would have
and
gone
And suddenly
that
it
way.
Turns into this, like, sending troops over here and sort of, I'm like, So that was a little disappointing. But so much of the game is so good that it may be good to muscle through that. Are we done with the worst part?
Sure, that's fine. But okay. do you have a worst? You
I
already
gave
your worst.
My worst.
My worst was I was playing, this just happened last night, I was playing Warcraft last night, and I was playing my alternate character that I started when you started playing. And you know, every once in a while you get to a point where you have a quest that is just a little bit too hard for you to finish at your current level. Mm-hmm. And so if there happens to be somebody else nearby, you just ask them if they want to join up so you can do it together. You know, kill two birds with one stone or one bird with two stones or whatever it is. So there was this guy and he asked me to help him with a quest and I said sure because I was there. And this guy proceeds to like steal everything while we were doing this quest. Like we're both miners and he would like, while I was fighting something, he would run away and then go steal the mine so that I didn't get anything the whole time. And so then we get to a mine that we both get to at the same time. He goes, okay, who gets this one? I said, how about me? He goes, okay. I go, let's kill the guys first so that, you know, we don't have to worry about it. And so we start killing the guys. He runs over and steals the mine out from under me.
What?
And I'm like, what'd you do that for? He goes, oh, here, you want the rocks I got? I'm like, no, I wanted the experience of mining because, you know, you build up your skill level.
Yeah.
And it was just really disappointing. And then the guy's like, oh, what are you going to be a baby about it now? I'm like, I just really don't want to play a game with somebody who's a J-hole, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it boils down to. So
to be fair, back to what I was going to finish up about Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
It's well executed. It's just not my kind of gameplay that I enjoy.
Yeah.
It integrates well into the game, but it's not necessarily what I like in a game.
Yeah. You know, you've done some voice over acting as well
some,
as,
yeah.
You know, quite a bit, right? Have you ever done any video games?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not as of yet.
No. Yeah.
You know, Lou has.
I've heard.
Oh, you have? Of course you've heard.
Did I tell you that? I didn't know if I had
which,
told you
which
that.
Game?
I did a game called, I did about a dozen characters in a game called Sacred 2. Thank you. I forgot.
Okay, cool.
I forgot. It.
Very cool.
It came out on the PC, I think either late last year or early this year. But yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
Super
but,
fun.
But that's the only one.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then now best?
Best. What was your best
thing? I watched Doctor Who End of Time Part 1.
Yeah.
And that was pretty stunning. That was pretty stunning.
Did you watch that here or back home?
I watched it here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Comcast? Cable television?
I'm not going to tell you how I watched it.
Oh, man. Okay, so anyway, on DirecTV, the problem on DirecTV is that the BBC channel is not only not in HD, but it's like a letterbox inside a pillbox. So if you have a 52-inch TV, yeah. The picture is actually like 13 inches. It's awful. And that's how we watched The Next Doctor. And we did not enjoy that because we're used to watching it on DVD.
Oh, I just start, and I also just, within the week... I just started watching The Wire, I said. The Wire, and that when I was shooting the season finale and I was in my trailer for Heroes, I was watching The Wire and getting caught up on season one, which is like, 6 years old? It was terrific. So that's another big entertainment, big one.
Cool. Yeah. What about you?
I'll have to go Up in the Air. Yeah. I didn't know what to expect from it. I mean, I knew it would be good because it's gotten nothing but good reviews. But,
yeah.
But
and Modern Warfare 2, I started playing that this week.
You know, it's best. That means one.
One? Okay, Doctor Who.
Okay.
For my best entertainment moment of the week, I'm going to pick this podcast right here and having you sit in with us. This has been a real treat and a real pleasure.
For you.
So, okay, let's hear you sing something.
Because we don't have copyright for any songs. I'd have to make one up.
Damn. Go ahead.
I'm not going to sing for you.
Create one.
Yeah.
Create our theme song, Todd.
Yeah, actor boy.
Pause.com.
Awesome. That'll be at the head end of the podcast from now on.
1-877 cars for kids.
No, not that time. That reminds me of creepy clowns and funny uncles. Man, I don't want to go there.
I love their first album.
Yeah, funny
the
uncles.
Funny uncles, they were good.
They were. That's back when they still had their mojo.
Did.
And then they just started taking other people's mojo.
I know.
And went to prison. Okay, so as always, everybody, thanks for listening. Thank you so much for being here,
Todd. Yeah, thank you
very much.
Really
was a
lot of fun to have you here. And next time you're back in town, we'll have to do it again.
Cool.
And as always, you can send email to us at podcast@pause.com. Go to iTunes where you can subscribe to the podcast. Go to Facebook where you can become a fan of our page. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.